Prior to the last election, the Albanese government made a promise for Australia to end live animal exports, divesting itself economically and moving to more humane ways of transporting meat internationally, after the industry was found to not only be declining economically, but was a salient and shameful example of animal cruelty. However, the federal government is still yet to set a date to end live animal exports, and the WA state government seem to be encouraging this delay with an economic argument, despite there already being implemented efforts to change the method in which meat is processed and distributed. This would in turn provide more jobs for West Australians. The MV Bahijar arrived off the coast of Fremantle last Monday after it was ordered to return to Australia last month due to security concerns in the Red Sea. By this point, the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry had failed to make a decision on whether the animals on board would be re-exported. And at the time of my interview, 15,000 animals had already been at sea for 25 days. I spoke to Brad Pettit, MLC, about a snap action by animal rights activists in Fremantle, calling for this to be the last example of as to why the Albanese government must keep their promise to end live animal exports. I started by asking Brad about the snap action and what happened on Tuesday.
Yes, so there was a snap action down at Fremantle Port. Over 100 people rocked up in 35 degree temperatures to make it really loud and clear that what live exports need to end. But what we're seeing here is a particularly horrific example that should you'd hope should be that line in the sand that says this industry can't continue, especially when we've got the key routes that get these sheep and cattle from Fremantle to the Middle East being blocked, being in a conflict zone, and they've been turned back and having to take longer routes. This is not fair on the welfare of those animals, and it's got to stop. And we've got this awful circumstance today where, with the ships pulling in, meant to be pulling in today, it's pushing 40 degrees. They're going to be stuck on the ship with not a moving vessel. So they rely on the ventilations, relying on the vessel moving, and no clarity about where these animals are going to go. Are they going to be kept on that vessel while they refuel and then be put out to sea for another 40 days? Are they going to be taken off and put in quarantine? The absolute failure of this industry to put animal welfare first and appropriately where it should be, I think, has been shown up time and time again, and this should be the line in the sand.
Rebecca Trapp said that they should offload the animals, but then the WA farmers and livestock representative came out saying no, they need to go on the 33-day trip around to avoid the Red Sea. Are the animals even, is there a good chance they're even going to survive this 58-day trip in the conditions that they're in?
Lots of them won't. Is the sad part of this. By keeping them on there, they're going to get increasingly distressed. Look, at the very least, and this would be a great this would be a compromise and one that I think doesn't go far enough because Rebecca's right. They need to be offloaded and actually not exported. But at the very least, they should be destocked so these animals can sit down. I mean, they're standing in their own feces. I mean, it's horrific. And the idea they're going to do that for another 30 or 40 days shouldn't happen. It's an industry that's frankly broken. And I think the response of the Farmers Federation and the livestock sector that says nothing to see here, we'll just turn them around and put them on an even longer voyage, I think actually highlights how little they care about animal welfare.
So when the exploitation of live animals is considered a salient example of animal cruelty, why has Australia remained a significant player in the industry when other countries in Europe and our neighbours New Zealand, who also have a big export of meat, have eliminated and banned the live animal exports? Why are we still dragging our heels?
It's a really good question, and there's no reason to now. Look, the industry, interesting, is it's declined 90% over the last decade. So it's in natural decline anyway. There's no reason, though, that we continuing it at all. And in fact, we have, pleasingly, the federal government, and John, I want to acknowledge that Josh Wilson from the ALP was there speaking very strongly yesterday as well, have agreed that they are going to stop this industry, but they haven't set a date. So, and they certainly are indicating that they're going to do it before the next election. And what we need is a firm date where this industry is going to end and a proper transition plan to phase it out over that time. By not setting a date, and frankly, the West Australian government has been terrible. Both Premier Cook and the Minister, Jackie Jarvis, have done everything they can to actually not support the federal decision to phase out this industry and to try and keep it going, which I think is absolutely shameful. And overwhelmingly, West Australians want to see. So there's 70%+, even I think 69% of people in regional areas want to see this industry end because there are better alternatives that provide jobs and that don't require the cruel treatment of animals being stuck on ships for weeks on end, often with many, many of them dying.
Cook's argument does kind of lead into my next question, which is around the economic pushback from farmers, shearers, transporting, and that's the reason for the delay by the federal government and the encouragement of our state government. But are there not more ethical and humane alternatives to the exportation of our meat? And in what ways could the government better facilitate and support these industries as they adjust?
Yep, and that's absolutely key. And they can, in fact, it's already happening. I mean, what we're seeing is a growth in meat processing here in Western Australia, actually providing local jobs in regional areas, actually seeing some towns come back to life because they got this processing meat at home, and I give Katanning as an example of that, rather than just merely exporting a product where all of those jobs ultimately go overseas. But there's a really cruel part in between where these sheep and cattle are being transported for weeks on end in often pretty horrific conditions. So the economic argument, frankly, no longer stacks up. What we saw what we heard yesterday was that it now only accounts for 1% of revenue in terms of the farming sector. It's extremely small. Our farmers no longer depend upon it. We do have the transition is happening. We now need to go from that natural transition to actually just a clear line in the sand that says we need to stop live exports. That needs to end, and we need to focus on processing meat at home and the jobs that come with it.
Obviously, you had the snap action yesterday and the people who were able to get down and get involved. So what are other ways that people can help maintain the pressure on the Labor government and our state government to stick by the promises to end these live animal exports?
Yeah, and now is the time to do that. I think contacting your local MP, saying you want to see this end. For your federal MPs, what you've got to say is thank you for agreeing that you are going to end this. Now we need a date, a line in the sand. For your state MPs, expressing your disappointment that the state ALP has failed to back in their federal counterparts and actually saying that West Australians want to see this phased out and they should support the federal ban and get out of the way.
So there are organisations such as Animals Australia and other activist groups who have petitions and templates. Are these as useful submitting to your local MP, even if that MP happens to be conservative and potentially not in favour of ending live animal exports? Are these still useful ways of putting pressure on those MPs to materialise a promise, or is it better to handwrite or call those members?
Look, both matter, but I think there used to be a formula in electoral offices. So if you write your own, especially a handwritten, or a individually crafted letter, it's kind of counted as about 40 pro forma letters. So it has a bigger impact because they realise the amount of effort that you put in. So if you can, and it doesn't have to be long, just simply writing both to the Premier and to your local member, stating that you want to see this ban put in place and you want to see a good, fair transition for farmers and farming communities, I think is a really good thing that we can all do. This trade is going to end. this just should, frankly, what we've seen happening in Fremantle Port right now should be the nail in the coffin of a cruel industry.